Welcome back to LFC Talk at Hotel Tia. Finally a new season. I can't really say finally because we haven't had a very long rest in between. But here we are, champions of England, champions of the world. And we've been champions of Europe for quite a nice long spell as well. With me to look into the new season is the one and only Mr. David Fairclough. David, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Ragnald. And as you say, it's been a great period for us. Certainly the success of winning the title, it couldn't come quick enough. And finally, we achieved that. And it's just a pity that the fans weren't able to really join in the culmination of such a good, successful year.
What was it like for you to actually see Jordan Henderson lift that cup? How did you feel inside?
Well, like every Liverpool fan, I've craved winning the title. We've had our fair share of ribbing from fans of other teams, and the fact that it took 30 years to actually win the Premier League title it was a case of a monkey on our back in a sense. It was something that we needed to correct, and I think we need to show now that we're going to be perennial challengers for the title. I think what Jürgen has done is in creating such a successful team of this moment, it has been fantastic. Hopefully we though can continue that, because we all want to be a part of it the next time it happens. We want to be in Anfield. We want to see them lift the trophy with a full house and share in the moment. It was a little bit difficult, I think, to fully enjoy the success, because we weren't in touch with football in quite the same way. So really looking forward to this great year ahead.
But personally, you've had some incredible, I was about to say trophies yourself, with two grandchildren arriving within 5 weeks this summer. How is life right now with a family almost doubled?
Yeah, really exciting. Obviously, on a personal front, it's been full of events, and it's been very emotional seeing both my children have their own children. And as you say, yeah, the Fairclough clan is growing at a pace. Hopefully they're going to slow down now for a little while. But yeah, it's been really emotional. It's been tremendous. And obviously, I love the football and enjoy being a part of Liverpool and being a Liverpool fan. I'm very proud of that. But it kind of has taken second place to the events of the summer, seeing my two new grandchildren.
We are only days away from a new Premier League season kicking off on the 12th of September against Leeds. Leeds is a good old friend of yours. What is it like to have the old rivals back on the stage?
I think it's a great name in English football, Leeds United. I think the days when they were, at the top of the pile, great rivals for Liverpool and the likes of Manchester United down the years. They've had their more than their fair share of great teams, great players, legends. So it's been a little bit sad in some ways to see them struggling along in the lower leagues. But I think it's a great name to have back in the Premier League. No real affiliation to Leeds United, but I think you just have to respect the success they've had in the past. What a great traditional football club that it is. And clubs like Leeds United probably do deserve to be in the top division in English football. So they'll be a welcome addition.
When you look back on all the matches against the yellow shirts, what's your favourite one, or the one you remember the most fondly or this fondly?
Yeah, well, I remember watching the great Leeds teams of the 60s and 70s coming up against Liverpool when they were, like we look to the big fixtures of the season now, Leeds was probably the biggest fixture for many years. And a fixture that Liverpool fans probably had a little bit of fear of, because, they could match Liverpool. Obviously, we beat Leeds to win our first ever FA Cup in 1965, which is a fantastic memory for me personally as a Liverpool fan growing up. and always respected Leeds throughout that period. So when I, you know, ultimately played for Liverpool, we were still great rivals. They were great rivals. They weren't as strong as perhaps the teams of previous years, but they were still packed with their fair share of great players. One particular day, I remember we won at Anfield 3-0, I think. It might have been a grand national morning. I remember winning a penalty to earn a breakthrough for us one Saturday morning, and then I scored a header. I scored the second goal from when Jimmy Case, I think he was shooting a goal actually, but I saved his blushes by deflecting it on target, and I scored our second goal. So I always remember that day coming up against Manchester, coming up against Leeds. They still had people like Paul Madeley, who was a great Leeds star in their ranks, number of others, but. And also remember the season when we'd already won the league, and Leeds was the last game of the season. It was the year that Liverpool were aiming to be the first team to score 84 goals in a season, and there was a big £50,000 prize award up for the first team to do that, and. Our last game of the season, even though we were champions, we had to go to Leeds and score at least two. And thankfully we did. I'm not sure we had to score two or three. But anyway, it was a funny night in as much as we were complaining about a disallowed goal at 3-0, I think. And the Leeds fans were quite upset, saying, well, you've already won the league. What are you sort of like making a big deal of it for? And we were saying, it's not about winning the points. It was about winning the money. £50,000 to us as a group was quite a healthy sum in those days. And, you know, so nothing was ever easy against Leeds. And 3-0, winning 3-0 at Elland Road was a very good win.
Our first home match last season was against Norwich, and they had a hard time at work with Liverpool really firing at them. 4-1, we won comfortably. What do you think Leeds has in weight on their first visit to Anfield back in the Premier League?
Well, I think you have to respect Leeds, first and foremost. Whether or not they're in the best of shape, because they're probably looking to build... in the early, you know, in the early stages of strengthening their team for their year in the Premier League, and under Bielsa, they're bound to be fit, physical. They'll have a tactical plan. Whether or not they can keep to it will be the test for Liverpool. Will be the test for Leeds. I think coming up against Liverpool, defending the title, we expect ourselves to be really up for the game, looking forward to getting off to a bright start, putting them under pressure. And for a new team like Leeds, I think it will be about how long they can maintain that game plan that, as I say, Bielsa will, I'm sure, try and ask of them. They will be well organised. But, you know, sometimes these newer teams, while some people might say it's a hard fixture, maybe because they're going to be full of full of enthusiasm and passion. I sometimes think that this is a good opener for us. I think to be meeting a new team who, as I say, perhaps haven't strengthened quite to their max just yet. I think it's a great start.
Jurgen Klopp has had a very short period of time to have his pre-season training, and in the middle of all of that, we have played Community Shield. What sort of challenge is that for his team to go into a new season with such a short spell of preparation?
Well, I think the fact that the pre-season this year was so short, I think works maybe to our advantage. In as much as we were able to put the Premier League events to bed, so to speak, and whilst other teams like Manchester United and Chelsea, one or two others, still had games to play in the, you know, Wolves playing in the Europa League, that extended their season a little bit. Manchester City as well. I think they've all probably had a shorter break than we have. I would expect Liverpool to be in really good shape. I think the players will have had a couple of weeks away. chance to recharge their batteries, and haven't had such a long gap or break because of the lockdown. They'll have welcomed, I think, being back in action. So I think the timing for this has been probably quite good for us. I'd like to have seen us maybe look a little bit sharper against Arsenal than we did. Still looked a little bit out of sorts, not quite at our best yet. And I think that would have given us all a bit of a boost, I think, if we'd won the Charity Shield. I think, although it's only a two-horse race kind of thing, it's still nice to win the silverware, and to lose it even on penalties was a bit disappointing.
What do you think it was like for Brewster, being so young and then feeling like he maybe failed the team? What sort of support will be around him, and how do you get back from that?
Well, it's a big test for him. It's a test of character. I think the timing of coming on to the game, he was clearly brought on with the idea that he would feature in the penalties shootout, and he probably had a bit of confidence about himself, expecting to score. Might have been a little bit complacent, perhaps. Might be the reason why he didn't score. It's a bit of responsibility, but it's a test of character now. Okay, it was only the Charity Shield at the end of the day, and he'll feel it a little bit. But I'm sure with Jurgen Klopp's sort of personality, I think he'll try and put his mind at rest. Certainly there'll be no blame attached. But this for Ryan Brewster, on a personal note, I think is a little bit of a it's a test. It's how do you react? And I think that they'll be looking at him to see if he's affected in any way.
I thought Curtis Jones showed some true leader character in the way he immediately put his arm around his shoulder and gave him a little kiss there. Isn't that what managers look for in terms of young players in that sort of off-the-pitch behaviour?
It's a nice touch, and clearly they're pals because they've come through the academy ranks, and Curtis Jones will have been the captain of the junior sides, so it's a kind of a follow-on from him. But, he's got probably more... more of a relationship with Ryan Brewster, so it was kind of fitting, really, that he should be the first one to sort of try and sort of say, "Don't worry about it," and give him a little bit of a boost. But then, you'd hope then the experienced lads will add their little bit as well. You can imagine people like Milner and one or two others being particularly sort of considerate to him in that position because of their natural. Their natural personality seems to sort of make me feel that that would be their reaction.
Like last season, we start off with quite some tough fixtures. We have Chelsea next after Leeds, and then followed by Arsenal home. How excited are you about the start of this fixture list?
Well, I think I think where Leeds is a good start for us. I think the Chelsea game on the back of it is a real test. I think seeing Chelsea make the additions that they have has been... I think you have to give Chelsea some credit for acting as quick and as decisive as they've done. We were linked with Timo Werner for quite a while. Chelsea didn't let the dust settle under their feet when it was clear that Liverpool weren't going to go for him. They stepped in, take him. So Chelsea's intentions clearly this season is to be a real challenger. The addition of Thiago Silva and they've made some really good signings. Chelsea. It will be interesting to see how they can actually put it all together in quick time. Just a couple of weeks, really, to bed everybody in. And whilst that won't be, you would think they're going to be strong. You could sense that perhaps that there might be a little bit of a time before Chelsea really look like the real deal. But I think they're going to be up there challenging this season.
What about Arsenal? Do you think we'll feel the urge to revenge the Community Shield, or do you think it's a total separate issue?
Arsenal, I think, will also be a tough opponent this season. I think Arteta has gradually imposed himself on the club, and I think the change that has occurred at Arsenal is amazing, because they really looked, sort of on the slide under Unai Emery. And I think Arteta coming in and making those changes, getting them looking solid. I think you have to respect what they've done. They've got a great forward line, obviously, Lacazette, Aubameyang, a really quality strike force. But they've made some additions in the defensive areas now, and I think that's going to make Arsenal quite formidable. And with their organisation, I think they're going to cause teams problems. I don't think they'll play a naturally attacking game. I think generally they'll look to be a counter-attacking team, certainly against the bigger teams. Maybe some of the lesser teams they might go and have a go at, but I suspect they'll frustrate the likes of ourselves, Chelsea, Man City. They're the games that they'll play quite a cagey, or have a cagey approach, I suspect. So we've got a relatively tough month ahead of us with the Chelsea and Arsenal games.
You mentioned Chelsea's transfer window so far. They've been quite proactive and they have spent their money. What do you think so far of Liverpool's transfer window?
To be honest with you, I'm a little bit disappointed to see Liverpool not really make any quick additions. I think we know Jürgen only buys players that he's absolutely sure of. He doesn't buy for buying sake. But I think Liverpool are in need of strengthening in one or two areas. It's unclear yet exactly how many people will actually leave, how many players will leave. We've seen Lovren go, obviously. And I think there'll be one or two others before the start of the season. That means, I think, that we have to bring a couple in. I don't think you can rely on, at the moment, you'd be thinking, well, Liverpool look like they're going to rely on the likes of Brewster, Curtis Jones. Kate has shown a little bit of good form in the last part of the season, and obviously in a couple of the pre-season games. But I think all in all, I'd like to see Liverpool make some additions. We've been linked with Thiago for such a long time. That's kind of, I find that a little bit frustrating that there's not been sort of any real sort of movement in saying, well, yes, we're going to get him, or absolutely not. We're not going for him. I think it would be a great addition, though, Thiago.
But they say that if Thiago comes, Gini needs to go. And if you look back at last season, Gini Wijnaldum was one of the most central players in winning the league. I mean, he's one of those who play the most matches for us. Mm. What's your thought on that? Why do we have to sell Gini? Do we have to sell Gini? Or I don't want him to go.
No. Well, Gini only missed one game last season, I think. And I'm in the Gini Wijnaldum fan club. I think he's been great. But I suppose from his point of view, if the club isn't committing themselves to another extension of his contract, which seems to be kind of thing it's in his mind, I suppose it's going to be a little bit unsettling. And I suppose if a team like Barcelona then comes in for you, or it's sort of the speculation, I suppose you're going to appear interested. And I think it's a little bit game of chicken at the moment, I suppose. Are Liverpool going to commit themselves to a couple of years? Gini Wijnaldum, 29, he'll be looking for some sort of security. Whether or not I think Barcelona is the right club for him, in some ways I don't think it's probably the right club to go to at the moment because of the upheaval that's going on there. But still and all, they remain an attractive name. The climate of Barcelona seems maybe a little bit more attractive than the
windy,
rainy.
He's from Holland. He doesn't need nice weather.
Doesn't need sunshine.
But,
he's used to the wind and the rain of Liverpool.
Weather. Yeah.
But I can see why Barcelona would be interesting for him. I can also see why Barcelona would be interested in him. But I think Liverpool have got to commit themselves. I think they've either got to decide that Gini is going to be, here longer than that next season, or not, because while there is that doubt, I think that we're going to find that there's there's going to be some speculation about his career.
What I feel strongly about this team is how the team clicks so well together. you don't have any big egos in this team. And I personally, and I think a lot of people will agree with me, that's one of Jürgen's biggest keys to success. Now we hear rumors that Messi's on the market, Genie might be going. What's your take on bringing in some super, super, superstar? I'm not saying Messi's coming because I don't think we'll talk about Messi after. But a Messi kind of character into our team, what can that create or damage the team with?
Yeah, I think that this may be one of the reasons why Liverpool really didn't chase Werner as much as they did. I think the fact that it can be unsettling when you go too big into the markets in terms of personalities and salaries and things like that, it can cause a little bit of disharmony in the group. And Jürgen is very, very much a fan of creating an environment, and he's very much the boss and won't be dictated to by superstar players. You know, so you either play Jürgen's way or you don't sort of, you're not a part of it. So I can understand why Liverpool won't be involved in bringing any real high-flying stars. We've seen over the last few years, we bring the type of players generally who you are going to grow with us, but the exception maybe of Van Dijk and Alisson. They're obviously two massive signings. But for the most part, I think there's a type of player that Liverpool go for, and they're normally not the highest sort of rated players in Europe, I don't think. But there's no doubt in the ability of Thiago Alcantara, and he probably is in that weight, you know, that he's probably in that bracket, which probably suits Liverpool. And I say, I just can't understand. It doesn't seem to be the greatest of terms that maybe they're thinking about at the moment. I think he's relatively well priced. I think his wages will probably be relative. So, you know, I'd love to see him come into the club. I think he would add something that we really, really need.
Who else have you got on your wish list for Liverpool this season?
Well, there have been one or two players out there who I think you could, you know, you might be tempted if you're that nature to go and break the bank for. I mean, I'm a big Mbappe fan. I mean,
oh, me too.
You know, somebody like Mbappe would be fantastic for Liverpool. He didn't have the grace of Champions League finals, but I think he's been carrying a little bit of an injury. But somebody of that nature would really excite us. Hard to see Liverpool going in ultimately for somebody of that stature, because, as I say, the wages and the personality thing has to be right to come into Liverpool's group. But we've been linked with Sancho. I think maybe he's a little bit overvalued personally. You know, I maintain Liverpool don't generally seem to go for the biggest of stars. I think you have to give United credit over the last sort of year. You know, looking at the impact Fernandes has made at United, brilliant. I mean, not obviously that too big a transfer fee. Van Beek from Ajax, I think that's another good addition. You know, they're both players who perhaps, I think, I'd like to think Liverpool maybe have considered at some point. I think United's they've made some good business as well.
Karius is also back training. Poor Karius. I wonder how he's feeling coming back to Liverpool after that devastating Kiev experience.
Yeah, not obviously a great note in his career. The Kiev final, and I don't think he really made a great job of his time at Besiktas. So he'll be disappointed, I think, to come back to Liverpool in some ways, knowing that there's no hope of him getting back into the Liverpool team. I think Alisson, yeah, we all know what Alisson is, his standing in the game, leading goalkeeper in the world for me, and we're so lucky to have him there. And Adrian was quite a good replacement. So there's been no movement for Adrian. So exactly what Karius is going to get from being back at Anfield remains a bit of a mystery, really. But he didn't make the best of his opportunity in Turkey. So he'll be feeling a bit flat at the moment, I would suspect.
I've enjoyed writing a children and young adult book about this team and portraits about these players this summer in Norwegian, first and foremost, but hopefully in English to follow soon. And I think Alisson's story is so inspirational because he was quite short and a bit chubby and loved his food. And at some point, his mom actually refused him to go into the fridge because he was putting on too much weight. And he was the little brother that no one really believed in because he was living in the shade of his incredible big brother goalie, who everybody thought was going to be the biggest star. And now look at him now, you know, probably, as you say, the best goalkeeper in the world, and just comes to show that you should never give up, even though your physics might be, you know, not behind you at the moment. All of a sudden you can start growing and you become the best of the best. Isn't that just beautiful?
Yeah, he's, we're very lucky to have Alisson. I think, you know, we paid a lot of money for him, but I think it was a great decision. I'd looked at him at his time at Roma, and I thought he was an amazing goalkeeper from the moment I was first sort of aware of Alisson, and you hope that your club's going to go and take a star like that. And his presence is extraordinary. I think when teams look down at Liverpool's goal and see him parading in the penalty area, I think it must be an awesome sight. And the thought of beating him, I think, is sort of Alisson's got one up on you straight away, I think. So really happy that we have got a goalkeeper of such standard, because he inspires the defence in front of him so much. I think if you've got a little bit of an iffy goalkeeper, then you put the back line on edge, in circumstances. And so I think the way that we've been reasonably solid at the back, maybe we could do with another sign, I think, in the centre back sort of position. I think that's kind of a lot of people have felt that with Lovren going, are we short in replacements? But there are one or two young lads making a little bit of names for themselves. Kimetio, I think, is a lad who's been out in. Injured for quite a while, but seems to have come back, and Jürgen has really taken a bit of a liking to him, even though he's only 17, 18 years of age. But he's huge. He's 6'5", and he seems to be one who the hopes are high for, but difficult for young lads to break into what will be, such a high level of a team next season. Liverpool want to be competing at the top level of European football, and also to win the Premier League again. So it's sort of a little bit of a question mark whether young lads can be pushed into that kind of environment. But certainly, there's a great belief in the young players at Liverpool. Just wonder though whether or not we might still have to bring a little bit more experience in from somewhere else.
If you look into the glass bowl about the strikers, though, two Premier League seasons in a row, we were spoiled with having the Golden Boot winner, the most scoring player in Premier League. That didn't happen this season. Will it happen next season?
Yeah, well, there's some formidable players out there now in the striking positions. Aubameyang remains very, very consistent. I had my doubts about Aubameyang, actually, when he came over. I thought, sometimes players who are coming in from Germany don't actually achieve what they've previously done in the Bundesliga, because I think goals are a little bit cheaper to come by. But give him all his credit, he's done superbly well. Two great seasons for Arsenal. It's a tough position. And there's a lot expected of people like Salah. Having had the year that he initially had, can he rise to those heights again? Hopefully so. Mane is just brilliant, and even though he scored so many goals last season, it's the energy and everything that Mane gives you that is probably his standout sort of. quality. So our leading goal scorer is probably going to be Salah. I just wonder whether or not Salah's capable of sort of winning the Golden Boot. Hope so. I hope that his first season wasn't sort of a one season wonder kind of thing. He has had a couple of decent, reasonable seasons since, but I think we really hope that Salah sort of, we see the Salah of 3 years ago.
Because for the last two seasons, Salah and Mane has been competing to be the most scoring in the team. Do you think that competition, even though Mane insists it's not a competition, it's a team effort, but do you think that little bit of eternal competition can make one of them race their games even further?
It can do. I think we've seen it maybe with the fullbacks a little bit. They seem to have their little sort of in-house competition, which is good and healthy. And the lads are great. They've got a great take on it all. But Robertson and Alexander-Arnold, they do strive to sort of to create goals, and so they seem to be having this little competitive edge between them, and I think it exists in forwards, and it's good that forwards sort of have that little bit of a ambition or strive to be the top goal scorer. I think it matters more to Salah than it does perhaps to Mane. I think Mane is more of an all-round sort of contributor to Liverpool's efforts. Salah is about goals, and I think you see that by the amount of efforts that he has. Sometimes he chooses the wrong option, whereas perhaps he could sort of pass it. He elects to take a shot on. And Mane is a little bit more, as I say, of a team player, it strikes me. And Firmino, I mean, although he had a good season the season before last in the scoring sense, he's not there purely to produce goals. But maybe I think we need to see a few more from Robbie Firmino next season.
He needs to score at home. What was that about? Waiting till the final home game to score a league goal at home?
Yeah, sometimes coincidences occur, and I think that's just a coincidence more than anything else. I think he tries as hard as anybody. There are a couple of games, you know, where you remember him having three or four chances, and you're thinking he's just not going to score today. I think it just ran a bit awkward for him last season. I think it was. I expect Robbie Firmino to have a bigger year this year in a goal scoring sense. There's no doubt in his ability. It's just a case of being a little bit more concentrated and being alive to opportunities. I think at times last season he may perhaps been a little bit too sort of lackadaisical in front of goal.
Let's finally have a little look at where we think this Premier League will go. Who do you think are our strongest opponents, and where do you think Liverpool will end on the table?
Well, I'm really, really hoping that we all share in another Premier League title next year, that we're there to enjoy it. And I think it'll be much more fun for the players to do it in front of a full house Anfield. You know, I looked at the celebrations this year, and at times I thought, okay, it's great, and they enjoyed it, but you enjoy it so much more if you achieve it in front of a full house. So I hope we're going to do it, and we're capable of doing it, but we're going to have to show an extraordinary level of consistency, something that has been obviously there for the two last seasons. We're going to have to do it again. Jürgen will no doubt strive to create that. It's going to be a big test for the players. It's always more difficult to defend the title than to win it sort of just in any year. So huge season for us this year, and it's important that we get off to a good start. That was a big part of what we achieved last year. Start was superb, but the challenge could come from two or three areas this season. I don't want to say it, but I think Manchester United have got to be respected. I think what they've done in the transfer market makes them a very dangerous opponent. Going forward, they can look so good. Defensively wise, I think that there are question marks. That's maybe that might be the only thing that's stopping United from being real challengers. And it's going to come from City again. I mean, if City are able to, if they bring in Messi, then, you know, I mean, that makes them really, really formidable. Even though Messi would be 33 years of age, his impact on the team and on the overall approach of the club would take on another another degree, a degree or two, and I think you'd have to respect that, and you know, expect Chelsea maybe to be sort of troublesome along the way. I don't see them being winning the title as such, but I see them being troublesome. So the main threat's going to come from the two Manchester clubs, I think.
David Fairclough, it's so nice to have you back on LFC Talk at Hotel Tia. We can't wait for the weekly shows to continue when the football kicks off. Until then, everyone, have a lovely sort of last warm-up to the season, and we'll talk more soon. Take care and goodbye.